I'd like to take a minute and tell you about Audible.com, Celtic Stuff Live's newest sponsor. Audible is offering our listeners a free audiobook along with a 30-day trial membership. All you have to do is go to audible.com/try now and browse the selection of audio programs. Download a title for free and start listening. It's that easy. Audible is a leading provider of premium digital spoken audio information and entertainment on the internet. Audible content includes an unmatched selection of audiobooks, original audio shows, news, comedy, and more from the leading audiobook publishers, broadcasters, entertainers, magazine and newspaper publishers, along with business information providers. One great selection I'd recommend is Bob Ryan's Scribe, which is narrated by Bob himself. Just go to audible.com/try now to redeem your free audiobook along with a 30-day trial membership. That's audible.com/try now. Get started today.
I joined Get in Shape for Women because my health demanded a lifestyle change. My blood pressure was high, my cholesterol was high, and my weight was high. I love the trainers. They make it fun. They make it accountable. I'm getting lots of compliments, feeling confident, feeling fabulous. My name is Michelle Burns. I'm 46 years old. I'm down 25 pounds in 3 dress sizes.
Sign up for your free week trial today. Visit GetInShapeForWomen.com. That's GetInShapeForWomen.com.
Hey Boston sports fans, this is Matt Rury from the Celtics postgame show.
And this is Jeff Kane from the Patriots postgame show. Listen to CLNS Radio Patriots and Celtics postgame show.
The only postgame shows driven by the fans on Blog Talk Radio. After every Celtics game, tune in at blogtalkradio.com/Celtics postgame and call 347-215-7771.
After every Patriots game, tune in to blogtalkradio.com/Patriots postgame. And call in toll-free to 929-477-2386. We look forward to talking about the best teams with the best fans.
This is CLNS Radio, the home of Internet Sports Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Larry H. Russell with a message on behalf of the network. As the leading online provider of audio-video coverage of the Boston Celtics, CLNS Radio delivers fans the most provocative discussion and analysis from the most noted personalities in the Celtics realm of the World Wide Web. Home to the number one rated weekly podcast which covers the NBA's winningest franchise, Celtics Beat is released first thing every Sunday morning. We deliver the hottest of takes and get the lowdown on all things Celtics from players, league executives, and the biggest names in the national basketball media. And it doesn't end there. The original Celtics podcasters John Duke and Justin Poulin have returned. Available Mondays on CLNSradio.com, Celtics Stuff Live is back and better than ever before with featured guests that are the most familiar voices to Celtics Nation. Basketball in Boston is heating up, and you don't want to miss any of this. Download the CLNS Radio mobile app now. Available for your iPhone and Android.
Thank you. It's Celtics coverage on CLNSradio.com.
A bomb from Thomas.
Dial in right now and share your thoughts toll-free, 347-215-7771.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome on in. Getting situated here at just after 1:15 a.m. on the East Coast. This is the Boston Celtics post-game show on CLNS Radio. My name is Matt Rury, and the man on the other end, Mr. Calvin Chamberlain, who I haven't spoken to in a week or so, is not on the East Coast. He's on the West Coast, so you're probably not as thrown off as I am for the start time of this game, Calvin. But either way, Celtics take one out in Portland with a strong finish. The final score is 120-111 against the Trailblazers. Calvin, how you doing, bud?
I'm doing great. How are you doing? What a fantastic game tonight, huh? I didn't even know you could be up at 1 a.m. I didn't think that was something you did.
Well, it's usually not. I told Nick a couple weeks ago, I said, listen, I know they're on the road. I could do one of those games for you. I could pull it off. And I didn't think he was going to schedule me for it. But I just thought I was being nice. And lo and behold, here I am. But it was a good one to stay up for. And even though I did try and catch a little bit of a nap in the middle of it, it was all that it was cracked up to be. And at the beginning of this game, it didn't look like it was going to be that way. It looked like they were going to continue whatever debacle it was last night, because I didn't catch the second half against the Kings, but they clearly fell right apart in that game. So it looked like that was going to continue early on. The Celtics were down 17 in this game against Portland, and they have a strong third quarter, strong second half overall. As they've been doing recently, not last night, of course, but they win this game 120-111 out against the Trailblazers, as I said. CLNS Radio is the leading online provider of audio video coverage for the Boston Celtics, and you can often find us on your radio dial at ESPN New Hampshire Radio, 912.50 AM up in the Granite State, and streaming live. And they are on ESPNNHradio.com. So, Calvin, this game was rocky to start, to say the least. And it looked like C.J. McCollum and Damian Lillard were once again going to have their way with the Celtics guards. They were going to score all night, and that there was no answer for what was going to happen with those two guys. Quite frankly, they did pretty much have decent games. Not as great of a game as you might expect from those two, but they did score 28 and 20 respectively, Lillard and McCollum, that is. And the Celtics ended up finding a way in the second half to counteract that. Everybody got involved, and Isaiah Thomas ended up scoring another 15 points in the fourth quarter to extend his 20-point game streak to whatever it is, 30 something. So overall, the Celtics showed that they can win games without guys like Jay Crowder and Avery Bradley, who are out tonight, against a team like in Portland, who their record doesn't really show what a lot of people believe their talent level to be. And I just thought it was an impressive win tonight.
Hooray, great win tonight. Second night of a back-to-back on a West Coast swing. You don't expect to win that game. Crowder, a late scratch. Hopefully everything's okay with whatever's going on with his family. But it's not like the Avery Bradley situation where you've been playing without him for weeks and you're already prepared. They were expecting to have Jay Crowder for this game. He didn't play. Like you said, Smart had to guard Lillard and McCollum probably more than he would in given the normal lineup if they had Bradley Crowder. And I thought it's not really the best physical matchup for him with either one of those guys. So yeah, they did struggle defensively with those two guards, but the way they played offensively, it didn't matter. They put up 43 points in that fourth quarter, 71 points in the second half, And yeah, you look at Isaiah Thomas. If you just looked at the score of this game and you said, yeah, Isaiah came back and starting out 2-for-10. Yeah, he played well in the second half. You know, a couple of those shots were foul shots that they were, intentional fouls late in the fourth quarter. But he did turn it on late in that game. But, I mean, in my opinion, there's still one hero of the game, and it's not Isaiah Thomas. I mean, the player of the game is Marcus Smart, right?
Marcus was all over the place. Another night where he was making some dazzling passes. He had some great assists. He had a couple of nice steals, again, where he was knocking the ball away. And in the books, he had 5 steals, but there are definitely 2 that are standing out in my mind that were just those typical Marcus Smart, I'm just going to take this ball away from you because you're putting it a little too close to me types of plays. And that's, he's like a bulldog when it comes to stuff like that. I love it. He was all over the place, and he made some clutch shots in the fourth quarter when the Celtics kind of needed it, and they were trying to stretch this thing out. And when Portland was sort of changing their defense to try and stop Isaiah Thomas, Smart was the guy that they sort of leaned on, and he kind of played that way throughout the whole game.
It was a 2-point game. Jaylen Brown sort of had that move to the rim, went out. Lillard was taking the ball the other way. Marcus Smart came all the way from behind, stole the ball. The Celtics went back. Al Horford, got a post-up move that didn't go in. Smart, at that point, got the offensive rebound at 4, and then it went back the other way again, and he took that charge on Lillard, and it wasn't, it wasn't the patented Marcus Smart flop. That was as hard of a charge you'll see. Got his feet outside the line.
Yeah. Yeah. They even reviewed it and confirmed, that it was definitely an offensive foul. They knew.
And the next was that he got an offensive rebound. All of a sudden, the Celtics went from being up 2 to being up 8. That was the ball game. I think that, we have to say, Smart turned into a superhero for about a 2-minute stretch there, and I think that was the difference between them winning and losing this game. So, as questionable as I thought some of his defense was earlier in the game, he just really sold out for the end of it, and I want to give him credit for being the hero rather than, the guy we normally focus on, which is Isaiah.
Yeah, and Marcus Smart is a good player in the fourth quarter. I think he thrives in that situation. Isaiah Thomas says it about himself, and in that the fourth quarter is not for everyone, and you need to have a certain mentality. I think Marcus Smart has that mentality. He's just learning to pick his spots a little bit better, and he's definitely elevated his game in the past few weeks. So I do want to give him credit as well, because he's a guy that I've criticized in the past for being too inconsistent. And while he's not perfectly consistent yet, I think he's getting there, and he's showing strides, and he's becoming more mature. And the flopping thing has toned down, or he's getting better at hiding it. So that was a clean charge tonight, and those are the types of plays that I love from him, not the flailing around and the flopping and all that junk. So either way, give us a call if you want tonight at 347-215-7771. I want to throw that out there. And this opening segment is powered by ZipRecruiter. It's the new year, which means a fresh start for your business. And a great year starts with making great hires. And the Celtics are making great decisions here by putting Marcus Smart in the starting lineup when pressed into it. Posting your job in one place isn't enough to find quality candidates. If you want to find the perfect hire, all you need to do is post your job on all the top job sites, of course. Now you can do that all in one place. With ZipRecruiter, you can jumpstart your hiring in 2017. Post your job to 200-plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. That's good. Find your candidates in any city or industry nationwide and post one time to watch all your qualified candidates roll in to ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. You don't have to juggle emails anymore or worry about calls to your office, and you can quickly screen the candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by over 1 million businesses already. It's great. And right now, our listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/sportsfan. That's ZipRecruiter.com/sportsfan. So, again, one more time. Try it for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/sportsfan. All right, Calvin, what else do you have here on Marcus Smart?
Well, no, I also wanted to say, you know, I think the Celtics had a little bit of trouble out of the gate, or Isaiah did specifically had a little bit of trouble because they put Harkless on, and he seemed a little hesitant to just try to dribble the ball. I felt like he was not being aggressive with his dribble early in the game, and this was a thing I also noticed last time. I don't know if, you know, maybe he's just feeling a little run down for having carried this offense. But I've been, you know, talking about the notion of having secondary ball handling in this game, and I think we've seen a lot of, like, Isaiah and Rozier together for that purpose, even though it makes the Celtics sort of terrible defensively, and did again tonight. But the point that I'm taking the long-winded way of saying that that I thought that Marcus did a really good job at being a point guard tonight, something that he's not always great at. And I think what it has to do with it in his case is just quick decisions. You know, he got the ball, he has a pretty good first step. So he takes that first step and he passes the ball off quickly. And he had five assists in, I thought he did a good job moving the ball when Isaiah didn't quite have it in terms of being a distributor. I mean, he only had one assist until the start of the third quarter. So, early on in the game when he was having that trouble, I thought, you know, Smart played well on that end as well.
Yeah, and he's always raved or praised for his defense, and then people rave about his defense, but tonight and in recent weeks, he's been showing his passing ability a little bit better. There were a couple of crisp passes that he made through the defense, a couple of guys just thread the needle, and it's nice to see things like that because he's still a pretty young player, so... This team is rounding into shape right now, and I think it's happening a lot faster than people would have thought. And he's one of those guys that looks better than most people, I think, would have expected him to look if you were talking about it around Christmas time this year. They've taken some big steps in the past couple of weeks here, Calvin.
Definitely. Rui, not to just quick subject change, I'm wondering, what do you think of that little elbow that Isaiah gave to Myers Leonard after that foul when he was walking by?
I assume you were watching the TNT broadcast, is that correct?
I was.
All right. I don't know what angle they had of that, but Comcast that showed Scott Foster right after the fact, and Isaiah went up to him and said something to the effect of, "What did I do?" And Scott Foster said, "You know what you did." And Isaiah made this motion like he put his hands up and he must have said something. And Scott Foster said, "That's not what happened." So Isaiah trying to buy a little bit of grief or a little bit of a break there from Scott Foster, and he was just not giving it to him.
Did you not see it?
No, I saw it. I saw the elbow. I know exactly what was going on there too. But the angle that I saw was Scott Foster basically telling Isaiah, "Listen, don't pull this BS with me. You know what you did, and what you're telling me now is not what happened." So he just walked away after that, or CSN cut because they didn't want to incriminate Isaiah any further, I don't think. But yeah, he definitely gave it to Leonard a little bit, but they got into it a little bit in Boston. So I don't know. Maybe Isaiah was trying to get in his head a little, and the technical foul was definitely deserved for sure.
I mean, to Isaiah's credit, he is, for a guy his size, you know, it's like the Allen Iverson syndrome where he takes a lot of punishment and he seems to be a little bit more durable than Iverson. And I think it has to do with the fact that he has a lower center of gravity, so he can take those hits a little bit better. But he still just does take a lot of contact, and for the most part, you know, even if he flies into the stand, he seems to be able to keep his cool. It was just interesting to me to see on what didn't seem to be a particularly testy situation with Myers Leonard. I mean, I guess you never know what happens in the NBA. I guess that's why I was asking you. Maybe this goes back to something that happened in a previous game that he's already got he's got his eye on him.
So Myers Leonard had two thunderous dunks against the Celtics. I believe they were both on Amir Johnson. Don't hold me to that. I can't remember who he was dunking on in Boston, but they were thunderous. He puffed his chest out a little bit. Portland ended up winning that game, and I don't know if the Celtics really took too kindly to that, but he was dunking all over people against the Celtics in Boston, and to the point where the Celtics fans were going crazy for him because they were pretty amazing dunks. We hadn't seen anything like that from
from a guy his size in a while, I don't think.
Maybe that motivated Green for the
hey, that was a nice try, too. That thing was beautiful. Maybe we can get into that a little bit here after the break, but we're going to go to the call lines first before we do that, after this break, of course, because we have one of our very own who's going to be heaping some more praise on Marcus Smart when we come back. Give us a call, 347-215-7771. This is the Boston Celtics postgame show on CLNS Radio.
The first segment of today's Celtics postgame show is powered by ZipRecruiter. It's the new year, which means a fresh start for your business. And a great year starts with making great hires. But posting your job in one place isn't enough to find quality candidates anymore. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all of the job sites. And now you can with ZipRecruiter. Jumpstart your hiring in 2017. Post your job to 200 plus job sites, including social networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with one single click. Find candidates in any city or industry or nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll into ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. No more juggling emails or calls to your office. Quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast and the first time. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by over 1 million businesses, and you can find out for free because you're a listener of the Celtics postgame show. Post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/sportsfan. That's ZipRecruiter.com/sportsfan. One more time to try it for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/sportsfan.
CLNS Radio's leading online coverage of the Boston Celtics now even more comprehensive than ever. From the Celtics postgame show, to the Garden Report, to CSL, and to Celtics Beat, CLNS Radio's Boston Celtics news feed provides narrated breaking news, game recaps, and news and notes for the NBA's winningest franchise, all provided in real time. Don't have the time to surf the web or search engines and plunge your head into your computer or smartphone to read up on all the latest on the Celtics? No problem. Multitask while listening to CLNS's Celtics news feed. And for the 2016-17 NBA campaign, the Boston Celtics pregame report with myself, Larry H. Russell, will be released on the newsfeed on game days at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, making it the first pregame report to air anywhere. We will give you a featured interview from someone providing opposing insight, pregame notes, and go on a Celtics draft pick watch, all in just 12 minutes or less. Available on the Boston Celtics newsfeed on iTunes and Stitcher and the CLNS Radio mobile podcast app.
Hey, this is Nick Gelso, the founder of CLNS Radio, and I just want to take a moment to talk to you about Movement Watches. Movement Watches, if you haven't heard of this company, it started by two broke college kids that wanted to wear stylish watches but couldn't afford them. So what did they do? They started their own company. As you know, CLNS Radio was founded by a bunch of Celtics fans way back in 2009, and from there we started a company that made a career out of it, so we can absolutely relate to the owners of Movement Watches. And let me tell you, I purchased the Chrono Gunmetal watch. This watch is so sleek, black stainless steel, it's light, it's versatile, it's great for dress occasions or even casual affairs. A little bit more about Movement Watches. They start at $95. I purchased the Chrome Gunmetal watch for under $100, and I know with the watch I purchased, you're looking at $400 to $500 in a department store. So give yourself a big discount right in time for the holidays. You can get 15% off today with free shipping, and if you don't like the watch, guess what? You can return it for free. All you have to do is go to movementwatches.com/Celticsbeat. Wait a second, even the name is cool. It's spelled MVMTwatches.com/Celticsbeat. Again, go to MVMTwatches.com/Celticsbeat.
All right, we're back here on the Boston Celtics postgame show on CLNS Radio. My name is Matt Rurie, and I'm here with Calvin Chamberlain. Celtics win 120-111 out in Portland against the Trailblazers. And right now we're going to open the Movement Watch's toll-free call lines. Give us a call at 347-215-7771. The phone lines are brought to you by Movement Watches. While department store watches start at $400 to $500, it's too expensive. The good folks over at Movement Watches have taken the middleman out, and they're passing that savings directly on to you. So check them out. They're slick, they're fashionable, and most importantly, Movement Watches are affordable. Starting at just $95, go to movementwatches.com/Celticsbeat, and you'll get 15% off your first order. You get free shipping, too, so that's great. That's mvmtwatches.com/Celticsbeat. All right, on those call lines, Calvin, are you ready? It's Bobby Manning, and we're going to talk a little bit more about Marcus Smart because, as you said, he was the MVP of this game tonight, and Bobby apparently thinks so, too, and he wants to share his thoughts. What's going on, Bobby?
Matt, you really sound thrilled to be up at 1:30. I can just feel the joy in your voice listening in.
Hey, man, I'm trying to show my excitement for being up to watch this game. It was a great game, and the Celtics really rewarded the people that stayed up here on the East Coast watching them because they played a great second half of basketball, unlike last night. So I'm glad I didn't see the second half last night, and I stayed up for it tonight. How about that?
This team's ability to bounce back for the second game on the end of back-to-backs is just incredible, and they've done it pretty much every year under Brad Stevens. It's unbelievable. Those are the nightmare games for so many teams, but it almost looks like they enjoy playing these games at this point. I think they're 9-3, Gorman said, on the second half of back-to-back. So that was a reason to be confident going into tonight. But on Marcus Smart, who I really want to talk about, and tonight was just a very intriguing game from him. And they had the King in the Fourth graphics up and everything like that for Isaiah Thomas. Another stupendous performance from him. But I think what we're really, not highlighting enough with Marcus Smart, and it really became evident to me tonight, is how well he complements Isaiah Thomas when he's out on the court with him. With all the improvement on Smart's offensive game, his passing, even his shooting some nights like tonight, a great 8-13 night, we really forget what his bread and butter was coming into this league. And it wasn't so much the on-ball defense, but his ability to play in the pick-and-roll defense and get around screens and completely stabilize the defense. I compared the Celtics defense to butter tonight. It looks solid. You got a lot of good personnel, but really it just melts so often. And really the only guy who keeps it stable a lot of the time is Marcus Smart being able to get through those screens, prevent the defense from getting the switches they want. And tonight, he forced some great turnovers when Portland was trying to, get in the favorable matchups against Isaiah Thomas and some of the other weak links on the defense that were out there. Gerald Green played a lot of good minutes tonight. And Smart, he's a young guy. He's been injured here and there. But I can't think of a reason why he shouldn't be out on the court for almost every minute of every single game at this point. Because when he's out there, the defense really just changes. And tonight, down the stretch of that game, Portland was coming for them. And it wasn't a great defensive performance by the Celtics. But when they force a few key turnovers like they did tonight, their offense is so good that they're going to be able to pull these close, high-scoring games out of it.
I can jump in here.
Okay, go. Oh, you want me to jump in? I'm sorry. Is that what you said? I couldn't hear.
Did we mute him or something?
Oh, my bad. Can you hear me now?
Mic is
yeah,
on.
We got you now.
Yeah, it was my microphone was out of place. So Marcus Smart, I didn't think individually he played the best defense tonight. I was telling Rory earlier just because the matchup was pretty difficult for him. But I just think in team defensive concepts and just like when it counts the most, he always is in the right position. You're right. I was talking earlier about how playing Rozier and Isaiah on the floor at the same time is a problem, but obviously it's not going to be the rotation when Bradley comes back. But Smart, especially without Bradley in the game, is just so important defensively because, as good as Isaiah has been, he's certainly a guy who the other team is immediately going to try to put into a pick and roll. And everybody else on the floor has to know how to rotate. And Marcus Smart is one of the best, rotating defenders and covering multiple men type defenders in the league. And I think particularly, like you said, when you have Isaiah on the court, that's so important for everybody else on that end, because the Celtics need to be a plus. They don't have to be a great defensive team with Isaiah out there because they're so good on the other end. But if if they just have those moments where they get those, you know, a couple of turnovers and he's scoring like he can do, then all of a sudden a game that's, you know, a 2-point game becomes a 9-point win. And I think that's what we saw tonight.
And there was definitely a spurt there that you detailed earlier, Calvin, where Marcus Smart made multiple plays on both the offensive and defensive end that made the Celtics stretch that lead and really put the Blazers away until, of course, they started just getting easy layups with less than 2 minutes to go because Portland expected them to pull the ball out to the three-point line and Isaiah just went to the rim and then Marcus Smart went to the rim. And that's the way the Celtics put the stake in the heart tonight of the Portland Trail Blazers. Bobby, you have anything else you want to throw out there before we move on and maybe stir things up here with Calvin?
Hey, another thing I want to say is Gerald Green, it's been a fun season with him, and that dunk is probably going to be the face of his season here in Boston. We didn't, a lot of people didn't expect a lot from him coming in. I thought he could be a key guy off the bench, and it's been awesome to see him get his 17, 18 minutes a game and make the most of it. Tonight he was 5 of 6, and he going down the stretch of the season, he might be able to make some key plays for them off the bench the way he's been scoring the ball ever since. You know, it looked like he was injured at the little beginning of the year. He wasn't playing as much, but now that he's been able to get his minutes, he might be the most pleasant surprise on this team as far as the bench goes.
Yeah, he didn't want to come out of the game tonight. He definitely, after that dunk especially, Brad Stevens,
oh, man,
decided he was going to pull him, and he brought Kelly Olynyk in, and I think if I was Gerald Green, I'd be saying the same thing. You could see his face on the bench. He did not look happy to be coming out of the game at that point. But sometimes he is just
a fun player.
Yep, he's been spurts of greatness, and I'd like to see more out of him. I just don't know if he can sustain it over long periods of time as far as minutes are concerned. All right, Bobby, get some sleep, man. Have a good night. All right.
Yep, off to bed.
All right, there he goes, Bobby Manning. You'll hear him on these airwaves once in a while as well. One of our hosts here on the post game show. So thank you to all he does. Up next is another guy you hear on these airwaves, but as a caller. And Calvin, I hear that you may or may not have gotten into it with Nick Sesento about trading Jaylen Brown. And I'm afraid that I was perhaps the catalyst to your thoughts about why Jaylen Brown might be getting so much playing time right now. So I'm not trying to ambush you here, but Sam in San Diego has some thoughts or some questions
some
or comments
words for
about
me?
About the your idea for about Jaylen Brown for Nurkic. So
bring
Sam in San Diego, take it away, and I'm gonna just let Calvin defend himself.
Yeah, it sounds like Carlos Whispers in here tonight. So I thought I'd call.
I was really
pissed off after last night's game. So I was off at the gym listening, and it was at the end of the broadcast that Calvin mentioned something like an offer that was Jaylen Brown for Nurkic, who's the backup center for Denver. And I was really surprised that Ty Ray agreed with him. But I thought that was a horrible trade. I mean, at least make a Jokic. You know, this is a starter. I know.
You're not
getting
Jokic. You're not getting Jokic for Jaylen Brown there. Denver's not. Like Jokic's value is like basically – You'd have to move like Horford.
I won't dispute that. But Nurkic, though, I mean, we're talking about this is our highest pick since Chauncey Billups, and he looks great, you know, and he's a position that's the most. I think he looks fantastic. Yeah, I mean, you can see all of the flashes. I mean, I don't see Ingram looking any better than him. I'd say they're about the same in terms of where they are.
So. Calvin, before you respond, I just want to say that I think Jaylen Brown right now is trending up and Ingram is trending down, and I think Jaylen Brown is better than advertised coming into the season because he was questioned a lot coming into this season, whereas Ingram was expected to do well. So I think Brown is exceeding expectations regardless of which player is actually better or not. So go ahead.
I mean, I don't want to turn this into a Jaylen Brown versus Brandon Ingram specific conversation, although we can if you want. I don't think Ingram has had the best season. There's no question about that. He needs to get stronger. I think athletically he has a higher ceiling than Jaylen Brown because of his length. And I don't know. We're turning this back into a draft thing. Neither player is where they're going to be. But that wasn't the crux of what my argument was, Sam. If you remember correctly, the crux of what my argument was that although Jaylen Brown, you know, may turn out to be a fine player, and I know I wasn't disputing that, or even a really good player, my argument was again. First of all, you're sleeping on how good Nurkic is. Nurkic is a better player than you realize. He just can't play with Jokic because they're both centers, and thusly he's not getting the minutes. But if you just look at his production per minute, per 36 minutes, it's like 18 and 10, 18 and 11. He can defend well. He plays center, which is, you know, something that Celtics fans tell me all the time, that Al Horford needs a center to play with, and they have to satiate Horford. But even beyond that, Sam, my argument was not that Jaylen Brown's not going to be good. It's that his timeline doesn't match up with the rest of the players on this team. Brandon Ingram does match up with the other good Lakers, Julius Randle or whoever you want to say is a keeper on the Lakers, because the Lakers aren't anywhere near being a good team. So my argument for why Jaylen Brown needs to be the piece that moves as opposed to Marcus Smart is because it's verified by what we saw tonight. Marcus Smart can go out there in the fourth quarter and get you steals of a playoff game. You know, Jaylen Brown is a guy who's not quite there yet when it comes to basketball IQ, when it comes to playing minutes down the stretch of an NBA playoff game. And I think the Celtics, if they made the right move, have a chance to – I think the Cavaliers are ready to be beaten in the right situation. And I think the Celtics, with a smart move or two, can get there. And I just logically, Jaylen Brown is the smartest piece to move in that situation without hurting your team right now.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, I don't really buy those timeline arguments because players can emerge into their second and third years. I mean, you're already seeing Brown fitting a role now. I mean, he can emerge into that role at a higher level by next year. I mean, wasn't Derrick Rose an MVP by his fourth year? I mean,
yeah.
I don't think everybody has to be at the same age timeline wise to compete for a championship team.
No. Look. Let's say like you just said. You know, Derrick Rose emerged into an MVP by his fourth year. If that happens with Jaylen Brown, it's already too late for the Celtics team. That's the point that I'm making to you. Isaiah Thomas, it's really if you factor in the year that he's having, which is a better year than he's ever had. He's 28. He's a small point guard. Do I think that he's going to be this good when he's 32? Based on his style of basketball, I find it difficult to imagine. And you factor in the fact that he, Bradley, and Smart are all going to need to get paid. I just think that – and it, in a situation where you're trading for Nurkic, and I could come up with more trades if you want, you're also trading for a guy who's 23, but he plays the position in center that you were saying that you have a hard time playing with anyway, and he's a much better defensive player right now than Jaylen Brown. He can help you more with this team right now than Brown, and he's also a player who does have potential. So I don't see why it's such a negative – thought to trade for a guy who, one, fits your roster better right now, and two, can help you more right now. Even if Brown ultimately turns out to be a better player, that might not help what version of your team that exists right now.
I think if you're talking about putting him in for a package for Butler, I agree, but I just don't think Nurkic is that player. I mean, he's a player that fits the need, as in we need rebounding, we need size up front, but he doesn't have any kind of star potential. I don't know. I don't agree. I don't think I can't see Danny making a move like that. I mean,
I don't think he.
Really
I don't think he
Danny
will either. But he should. No. I don't think Danny Ainge will make that move or similar move because I feel like Ainge tends to overvalue his asset and be reluctant to make trades unless it's a trade that they can dominate. And thusly, I think the Celtics will ultimately sit on their hands and just because they do have those picks coming down the line. And I understand why, you know, Ainge has so much job security anyway, that he doesn't really have to do anything. But I feel like this, again, if he chose to be bold right now, it could benefit this team for this season. What do you think, Corey? Where are you at on this?
No, I would agree. I think that he's probably not going to do anything like that. But I don't know if Nurkic is the guy that is really going to put this team over the top. I would search elsewhere first. If that's the best you can do, I'm torn. You know, I would. I just he does have some potential, but I like what I see out of Jaylen Brown. And Jaylen Brown is the wing potential wing scorer that people have been clamoring for. So it's not just that they need a piece like a big man, which they do, and we've been clamoring for that as well. But the Celtics fans and the organization keep saying things like, we need a wing scorer, we need a wing scorer, we need a wing scorer. And they've been saying this year after year since they've traded away Paul Pierce. And it's finally to the point where maybe they have a guy that can fill that need. Let's go after somebody else to fill the other need, but how do you trade that guy away? So I don't know. I would, if I was Danny Ainge, I'd be talking more about the picks than any of the players on the team, because the ones that have real value are guys that I would want to keep and see how they can develop under Brad Stevens and in this system. So I'm not necessarily sold on it, Calvin.
Wouldn't you say he's a better shooter than advertised, too? I mean, he seems to have a really nice shot. I mean, I know the percentages aren't high yet.
Well, he's a more confident shooter than advertised, that's for sure. And if you're a confident shooter, then I tend to think that your shot will get better with age. You know, you'll grow into it a little bit. Nick Sesento is going to jump in on this. And, Nick, don't take his head off tonight, okay, bud?
Oh, no.
Yours.
I don't take anybody's head off. I was the one getting my head taken off because I had the gall to question whether or not Nurkic moves the needle enough for the Celtics to compete for a championship this year. I was told that the moving the needle concept
is a stupid phrase that I've heard Celtics fans use a lot. And that's why I jumped. That phrase specifically is a pet peeve of mine. That's the only reason why I jumped in.
Because it's a pet peeve of yours doesn't make it a stupid comment. It means that you just don't like it.
I can elaborate on why. Look, move the needle is stupid because move the needle implies that you never make a deal unless that specific deal is the deal that wins you the championship. You can make an anti-move the needle argument against the trades that netted you Jay Crowder, against the trade that netted you Isaiah Thomas. If you want to be the person who says, well, does moving Rondo and getting Jay Crowder and deal move the needle? If you could be that naysayer and sit there and say, we should never trade anyone unless we can trade Jaylen Brown for Anthony Davis, then we shouldn't make any trade at all. That's the sort of logic behind the move the needle argument. Go ahead.
Calvin, the entire premise behind the Nurkic trade is your timeline premise, that we need a timeline now. We need to do something now. That's why moving the needle matters now. I mean, yes, I like your logic between Brown and Nurkic, by the way. Say what now?
I said, can I make a comparison between Brown and Nurkic so we can see that Nurkic is clearly the better player right now? Jaylen Brown shooting 42%, 28% from three. He's got a PER of 5. I'm not the huge biggest PER person in the world, but it matters. Nurkic is 15, right? I mean, that's significantly better. He's basically as good of a rebounder as Al Horford playing, you know, 18 minutes a game as opposed to over 30, gets a block a game, per 36. He's shooting over 50%. This is a guy who's a good basketball player. He's a significantly better basketball player than Jaylen Brown. Not that he won't be,
Calvin,
but I'm just saying the difference between these two is significant. But go on.
Calvin, it's not that Nurkic is not a good player, and I have his stats on Basketball Reference right now. And earlier in the season, he was definitely a double-double machine, and we're talking like 13, 14, you know, rebounds a game to go with 15, 16 points. He can do that, and he's absolutely a good player. But I don't think that when you're looking at two things. Number one, as you mentioned earlier, you're looking at these three players coming up on a salary re-up, and all three of them, Isaiah Thomas, Avery Bradley, and Marcus Smart, are going to get a lot more money after next year. Trading Jaylen Brown for Nurkic doesn't address that issue. We have to get rid of one of them, and it's not going to be Isaiah Thomas. We have to get rid of one of them in order to save that money. Otherwise, we're going to lose them for nothing. Because the longer we wait, the less likely somebody's going to want to take an Avery Bradley mid-season next year or Marcus Smart mid-season next year. Marcus Smart's stock is very high right now. Marcus Smart is the guy you want to move. As much as having a guy like Nurkic would help the team, I don't think it helps enough to give Isaiah Thomas that punch that you want. When you say, and this is the last thing I'm going to say because I don't want to filibuster, is that when people say, what do the Celtics need Yes, they need a big man, but as much as that, they need somebody that's going to come in and help Isaiah Thomas pick up the load of scoring. And I don't know if Nurkic is necessarily that guy that's experienced.
Yeah, I mean, he could be that guy. He's an offensive player as far as a center is concerned. He's definitely a guy that can score in the post. He's not the shooter, but so listen, what I'm saying
but
is
he's also wrong.
It comes down to this: how much do you value the wing scorer aspect of the future that you're looking for as a franchise versus trying to win right now because you're the 2 seed in the East and you can get a player? If this trade is, I mean, this is just something that Calvin threw out there, so people shouldn't be thinking this is a real rumor. This is just a hypothetical trade that we put out there.
Yeah, I could come up with more trades.
That's what I'm saying.
Sam has been
sitting here the whole time, guys, and we've got to hit a break here. So I'm going to take back control of this thing. Sam, do you want to say anything else about all this?
Yeah.
Because you're the one that started it.
Yeah, just last thing. The most important position these days, and always has been really in the NBA, is the small forward, the wing position, to have a scorer at that position. So I think that's why you keep Jalen. Last thing, Smart, as soon as he learns to finish at the basket and take contact, I think he's going to be a special player. And last thing, thanks for doing this postgame show. I know you guys tend to do the pregame shows when you come out on the West Coast, so thanks for staying up and go Celtics.
All right, man, good stuff. That's what happens when Nick Gelso takes over the scheduling. The pregame shows go away, and we go back to all postgame shows. So thank you for calling, Sam. Thank you for riling people up here tonight at almost 2 a.m. on the East Coast. This is the Celtics postgame show on CLNS Radio, and when we come back, I'm not going to reopen this discussion. We'll talk a little bit more about what's coming up for the Celtics, and I want to get into a little all-star discussion too, because I found – some off the cuff comments that Brad Stevens said to be a little bit interesting, and he basically is very aware of the situation going into All-Star Weekend, even though he's never done it before. So we'll get into that a little bit when we come back. And like I said, it's the CLNS Radio Boston Celtics postgame show.
Audible is offering our listeners a free audiobook along with a 30-day trial membership. All you have to do is go to audible.com/try now and browse the selection of audio programs. Download a title for free and start listening. It's that easy. Audible is a leading provider of premium digital spoken audio information and entertainment on the internet. Audible content includes an unmatched selection of audiobooks, original audio shows, news, comedy, and more from the leading audiobook publishers, broadcasters, entertainers, magazine and newspaper publishers, along with business information providers. One great selection I'd recommend is Bob Ryan's Scribe, which is narrated by Bob himself. Just go to audible.com/try now to redeem your free audiobook along with a 30-day trial membership. That's audible.com/try now. Get started today.
Hi, this is Larry H. Russell with a message on behalf of the network. As a leading online provider of audio-video coverage of the Boston Celtics, CLNS Radio delivers fans the most provocative discussion and analysis from the most noted personalities in the Celtics realm of the World Wide Web. Home to the number one rated weekly podcast which covers the NBA's winningest franchise, Celtics Beat is released first thing every Sunday morning. We deliver the most unique and informed vantage point and the lowdown on all things Boston Celtics from players, league executives, and the biggest names in the national basketball media. And it doesn't end there. The original Celtics podcast, Celtics Stuff Live, is back and better than ever before. Available Mondays on CLNSradio.com, Internet Radio Pioneers, and Celtics Diehards, John Duke and Justin Poulin go heavy on Boston basketball. With fun and engaging dialogue, CSL interacts with fans with weekly tweet and mailbags, all while featuring guests that are of the most familiar voices to Celtics Nation. Basketball in Boston is white hot this NBA season, and you don't want to miss any of this. Download the free CLNS Radio mobile app now. Available for your iPhone and Android.
You know, not all ingredients are created equal. So fresh, high-quality ingredients, they make the real difference, and that's why Blue Apron is so good. Blue Apron will send you meals to your house for less than $10 per meal. They deliver seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. Blue Apron knows that when you cook with incredible ingredients, you make incredible meals, so they set the highest quality standards for their community of artisanal suppliers, family-run farms, fisheries, and ranchers. So whether it's Japanese ramen noodles, wild-caught Alaskan salmon, or just heirloom tomatoes, Blue Apron is bringing you the best right to your door. You don't even have to go out to the grocery store. It's cold outside now. You don't have to go out and be cold. You can stay inside forever and just cook Blue Apron. They have new recipes weekly, and they're not even repeated within a year. So you make one, you don't have to do it again. It makes it's fresh every single time. It's new every single time. You have your own little restaurant in your kitchen. You can customize your recipe each week based on your preferences. I don't like fish that much, so I'm able to customize this so that I don't get fish options. I actually got a masala spice chicken dish. I love chicken tikka masala. This is perfect. It came with a kale and lime rice side, so I kind of got a little bit of everything, got a balanced nutritional meal. So check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free with free shipping. Just go to blueapron.com/garden report. You will love how good it feels and how good it tastes to create this incredible home-cooked meal with Blue Apron. As someone who does not cook very well and struggles with toast bagel bites, I am actually cooking meals and I'm actually doing it pretty well, and it's an amazing experience, and it's actually really good food. So you'll love Blue Apron. All you have to do is go to blueapron.com/garden report. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
All right, welcome back in the Boston Celtics post-game show on CLNS Radio. Hey, Calvin.
Yeah, can I just clarify something real quick before we move
yes.
on? Yeah. So the Nurkic was just a thing that came up yesterday.
Uh-huh.
I'm not beholden to that. You know what I mean? If you don't like Nurkic, maybe you like somebody else. My argument is more about why Brown specifically should be the guy that the Celtics think about trading. And as much as maybe you'd rather trade Smart because he's, you know, his contract is almost up, just know that the same reason why Celtics fans want to trade Smart, it's the same reason why his value is less in a trade than Jaylen Brown. But anyway, that's it.
No, I get it. I understand that you're trying to get the best value back, and right now people around the league are probably looking more at Jaylen Brown than a guy like Marcus Smart. But who knows? Maybe there's a GM out there that wants Marcus Smart, and he can provide something that Danny Ainge wants. So that's why this is all speculation, and why you know that I hate trade talk. But you know what I don't hate, Calvin? I don't hate people taking their family to a Celtics game. And you can do that right now with family packs that are presented by TD Bank, and that includes four tickets, two gifts for the kids, a meet and greet with Lucky, and a $20 credit. You can go check that out at Celtics.com/family, and there's some great seats over there, so go find them today. Celtics win tonight 120-111. Isaiah Thomas, the game's high scorer, yet again, 34 points, going to the All-Star game. Brad Stevens also going to the All-Star game. But before we get into that, Calvin, how do you feel about Damian Lillard All-Star snub talk? Because it happens every year, and since we saw Lillard tonight and the Celtics reporters on TV asked him about it tonight, I figured that I would bring it up tonight as well. Do you feel like he got snubbed? I think I know your answer, because of all the talent out there in the West, you're probably going to say that no, he did not, but go ahead.
Yeah, I'm going to just Google Western Conference All-Star as well while you're to answer the question. I don't have the list in front of me yet, but the obvious answer is no, he did not get snubbed. Here's the thing, Damian Lillard. You don't play defense, one. And two, you're in the West. So, unfortunately for you, there are several guys in the West who are better than you. You know, you're not the best distributor or best rebounding guard or really that great at anything besides scoring. And unfortunately, I mean, just looking at the rosters now, I certainly there's an argument to be made for Damian Lillard over Klay Thompson. But, you know, had Chris Paul remained healthy, he would have taken that spot anyway. Other than that, I think that maybe in the Klay situation, Damian has a legitimate argument, to be fair to him. Other than that, I don't see a spot where he could get into you.
No, I don't either. And it is Klay Thompson that you're looking at, but the argument there is winning versus a player that might be performing a little bit better on a losing team. And I don't know if winning should really be factored into the All-Star game, although it is factored in for coaches, which is why Brad Stevens is going. So I don't think Lillard got snubbed. I think he missed out. And if he was playing on a team like Indiana for the last 5 years, then he'd probably be on the All-Star team every year. So that's just the way the cookie crumbles out there in the Western Conference. But something that Brad Stevens said was that All-Star coaches really just manage minutes, and that's all they do. They don't drop plays or anything like that. They sort of just let the guys run wild. And I don't know. I feel like it's got to be a little bit more than that. But I wanted to see what you thought about this notion of Brad Stevens being able to go and schmooze with the players, because this is something that people have brought up in the past. And now I can go and talk to all these guys. And do you think it's that much of a factor for him to be able to do something like that and maybe get a free agent to want to play for him in the next couple of years just by going to the All-Star game?
I don't honestly think it's a huge factor. I think the bigger factor is player relationships, right? I mean, guys go and play with the other guys that they like playing with. I don't think that they go because, they just love a particular coach who coaches them in one exhibition game where, you know, how much practice time is Brad Stevens going to get in with the Eastern Conference All-Stars before that game?
Right.
So, yeah.
It's more about Isaiah then.
Yeah. It is more about Isaiah. And even that is, you know, probably has as much to do with the relationships Isaiah is developing, you know, outside of the court than he is even on the court. Like, who's he hanging out with? Who he go to school with? Yeah, you know, maybe a guy like DeMarcus, who he played with in Sacramento, is more inclined to come to Boston because of, you know, their friends. Those to me are the relationships that last in terms of having an impact on other players wanting to come to a team. I think there's occasionally a guy who manages to transcend that. Obviously, Popovich is a guy, but you know, beyond that, I don't think Stevens is even, you know, Doc Rivers in that department, who certainly has a little bit more of a player's coach sort of demeanor than Stevens, who, you know, no slight on him at all. He's just more nonchalant than
he's got to win first too, right? Yes, he has to actually win something. He's done a lot with this roster and with this team. He's improved them every year. And that's great. But until he wins the big one, players aren't really going to turn their head that much, I don't think.
Well, and like I said, unless it's a guy, if you want to say, like, maybe you can make an argument for a type of coach like a D'Antoni type, who like has such a specific gimmick to what he does that maybe certain guys say, I would thrive in this system. You know, as good of a coach as he is, I don't feel like Boston's brand of basketball is just, it's so unique that somebody's going specifically for the coaching and what, you know, what the coaching in Boston can do for them. I just find it to be a sort of non-starter when it comes to that. I have a question for you about Brad Stevens coaching the All-Star game, though.
Okay.
You know, as many minutes as we've seen Isaiah play this season, I know he was a little disappointed not to be named a starter. As a Celtics fan, do you want Isaiah to, like, not really play a lot of minutes in the All-Star game and have Stevens sort of be the guy who controls that? Or would you like to see Stevens, you know, show him favoritism and get him in the game, but so he gets his shine, but maybe he, you know, doesn't get the rest that you'd like?
Yeah, so I think the problem here is that Stevens might let Isaiah dictate what happens here. He might say, all right, I'm going to tell you, you're going to be able to play however long you want. But to me, I would want to rest him. I would want him to just take it in a little bit, maybe throw him in there just right after the tip or something, call timeout and get him in so that he gets in early or whatever, what have you, something quirky like that, and then move on from there. Give him like 10 minutes, give him a few minutes in the fourth quarter so he can do his thing, you know, and then not I'd rather not see him rack up minutes in this game is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I think what would be an interesting notion, he'll never do it, is, you know, what if he didn't play Isaiah at all through three quarters and then
until
he just
the fourth
played
quarter?
Him. Yeah, he just played him the entire fourth quarter.
That
to
would
sort
be
of
cool.
Say, like, yeah. But I mean he'll never make that sort of step. I imagine LeBron wouldn't take that too well, but it would be
if LeBron's out there too, then what does LeBron care, you know? I mean it would be
true.
Kyrie Irving
that's
that
true.
Would be that would be the one sitting down, right?
Well, because the fourth quarter is the time where they have to start playing defense, so maybe
right.
He'd be annoyed.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true. Oh, boy. All right, well, I have another question for you before we wrap this thing up, because we were talking about trade things earlier and yesterday, and I'm sure that it's going to be a topic of discussion over the next couple of weeks. I'm curious to see what you think Terry Rozier's value is, if anything at all, because I think he's improving. And he's becoming more of a ball-handling point guard, which is what the Celtics want him to be. And he's always been a good rebounding point guard. So does his value speak for anything across the league, do you think? I'm not trying to equate him with Marcus Smart just yet, but is he a guy that teams are going to look at as a potentially a guy that could fit a role for them in this league? Because, I don't know, I think that he's better than what I thought he was going to be coming into the season.
Honestly, I mean, he is a young player, but, I mean, you know, he's not a good defender. He sort of turns the ball over a lot. I don't love him, but I think, you know, if the Celtics have all their pieces, he's what we're talking about, you know, the third player off the bench, maybe the eighth or ninth man on the roster, and I think that's probably what you get for him in a trade is the eighth or ninth man on another team's roster.
All right, fair enough. You got anything else you want to throw out there before we say goodbye?
I mean, I don't have a specific agenda. We can talk about whatever you want there. Is there anything else you're curious about? I'm glad they played well tonight. They Cleveland lost tonight, so they cut that deficit to three games. I've been saying I think it's going to be difficult to pass Cleveland for the number one seed, but I've sort of just based on the fact that their defense is terrible. They gave up another 119 points tonight to Oklahoma City. I'm just watching them out there. LeBron's leading the NBA in minutes, and he's having to do everything. I just sort of feel like I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy.
Yeah.
But given the right situation, I feel like this might be the year where they sort of wear down when it comes to winning the playoff series.
That's a better one to end the show with then. Can the Celtics grab the one seed? Is that possible? Like, or is Cleveland just too strong as far as the regular season is concerned for the Celtics to catch them, or anybody to catch them for that matter? Because, I mean, it's certainly not going to be Toronto the way they've been playing recently. Washington has been coming on strong, but the Celtics are really the team that's creeping up. What are the odds that the Celtics get the number one seed in the Eastern Conference and the number one draft pick in the 2017 draft?
I saw that headline on ESPN. Is that what you're planning out for right here?
I saw the headline too. I remember where it came from. If it was ESPN, that's fine. I didn't click on it, but
yeah.
I saw that and was like, whoa.
Yeah.
But looking at the standings, it's totally conceivable.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be hard to pass them because they are still three games back, and you imagine that they sort of righted the ship before tonight, but. I think that they still have some losses in them, and the Celtics, you know, I would put their chances of passing them at a healthy 20%, 25%.
That's strong.
Yeah. You know, especially if, again, especially if they make a move, even though I don't expect that's going to happen, but I think they'd be wise to make a move in this situation. I've been saying it. I'll continue to say it. I can come up with other names besides Nurkic if nobody likes Nurkic. But I think this Jaylen Brown situation, people calling up and you know not wanting it, it's a classic scenario of people overvaluing assets. And you know he wanted to compare him to Ingram. And if the Lakers were on the verge of having a chance to knock off the Cavaliers and Brandon Ingram trade was the key to making that happen, then I would probably be on the air espousing that trade as well.
All right. Well, buddy, it's 2:15 a.m. I'm going to end this thing. I'm going to call it. I'm saying it's over. And that's going to do it for us here on the Boston Celtics post-game show on CLNS Radio. Calvin, it was fun doing the show with you. I hope to do Careless Whispers with you very soon. All
right? Yeah, it's Tuesday, right?
Yep. We should do it on Tuesday at 9 p.m. Check it out, people. This post-game show is going to be available for on-demand listening by searching for the CLNS Radio Boston Celtics post-game show on iTunes and Stitcher, as well as the CLNS Radio mobile podcast app. Celtics win 120-111 against the Portland Trailblazers. Follow us on social media, CLNS Radio on Twitter, and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/CLNSFans. Also, check out ESPNRadioNH.com for our friends over at ESPN New Hampshire. You can find them on Twitter as well at ESPNNH. Oh, yeah, they're on Facebook, /ESPNNH, so go there too. Today's show is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Again, start using ZipRecruiter for free now by going to ZipRecruiter.com/sportsfan. And you heard Jared Weiss talking about Blue Apron. That's a great service, so check them out at BlueApron.com/CLNS, and you'll get 3 free meals along with free shipping. Our friends at Movement Watches, that's MVMTWatches.com/CelticsBeat, will give you 15% off your first purchase with free shipping. And don't forget audiblepodcast.com/trynow for a free 30-day trial of audiobooks. Our music tonight was provided by Nick Sacento, who also fired Calvin up a little bit, and Joshua Morse. We want to thank today's callers, Bobby Manning, Sam from San Diego. Thank you all. Thanks to everyone who tuned in tonight. For CLNS Radio executive producer Larry H. Russell, program director Justin Pooland, the founder of the network, Nick Gelso, it's 2 a.m., and for my co-host, Calvin Chamberlain, my name is Matt Rury. At least I think it is. We'll see everyone back here. What night is tonight? On Saturday night, when the Celtics are still on the road, trying to make a good road trip end here against the Utah Jazz. Thanks for listening, everyone.
CLNS Radio, the home of Internet Sports Talk Radio.